Chapter 13. The drive back to Cincy's Jewel was fairly uneventful, though Leah and I continued to shoot the shit the entire way. We talked about everything from our favorite movies to the funny stories we had about our UC classes, and at one point we even swapped a bunch of dad jokes. Even though it was a fairly lengthy drive, it passed by in the blink of an eye. Soon we rolled up to the back alley of my lounge, pulled into the lot, and parked the Hummer right next to the rest of the caravan. I helped Leah out of the massive vehicle before I led her over to the door, and then I punched in my password key and held it open for her. When we got inside the building, we found Janine and Ada both hanging out at the bar.
"Carter!"
Janine said when she saw me approaching.
"And, Leah, what are you doing here?"
"Maybe they want to add more people to their little fling. A menage a quatre."
"Seriously?"
Janine hissed as her face turned bright red and she looked down at the floor.
"Don't be bashful, love. You certainly weren't earlier."
"Ada!"
Janine said as she shot daggers at Ada.
"That's private."
"Oh, you should know that with me,"
Ada said as she placed her hands behind her head and leaned back nonchalantly.
"Nothing stays private."
"Leah is going to be staying with us. She's a target of the OLG now, and I want us to be able to keep her safe."
"The OLG?"
Janine gasped, and her brown eyes widened.
"What happened?"
"They attacked us in her dorm room," I said with a frown. "A bunch of them."
"So, does that mean the cat is out of the bag?"
Ada smirked.
"Pun fully intended."
"Yes, Leah knows I'm a werepanther. She also knows Janine is a changeling and that you're a succubus, too."
And she's okay with that?"
Janine asked, as her gaze darted anxiously to the blonde beside me. "There's more to it," I said as I raised my hand, and then I turned to my new companion. "Do you want to show them, Leah?"
"I'm not a circus animal. I don't dance on command."
"That's not what I meant," I said as my face began to flush. I totally didn't mean to."
"I'm kidding,"
the blonde woman said with a wink.
"I would love to show off my abilities. I've never been able to show them off to anyone before."
"Your abilities?"
Janine said, and a glint of intrigue sparked to life behind her glasses.
"Like your biological skills? Just watch,"
Leah said, and then she plopped her duffel bag back down onto the ground. The blonde beauty looked around the room for a second or two before she finally walked over to a nearby wall, crouched down slightly, and then propelled herself into the air. The blonde shot upward, and as she moved, she twisted her body so her feet were facing the ceiling. Then she hit the roof of the lounge in a Spider-Man crouch, with her feet and hands all touching the surface. Meanwhile, Janine and Ada could only gape with wide eyes and wider mouths as they looked up at Leah. "That's not even the best part," I smirked before I glanced up at the frog woman. "Do the tongue thing!" Leah opened her mouth and her tongue slithered out like a snake being charmed. She thrust her head forward, launched her tongue at the lone whiskey bottle that sat on the bar, and wrapped it around the glass vessel like a noose. The polywarm then retracted her tongue and held out her left hand, and then she caught the bottle like it was nothing.
"Well, that's fucking hot,"
Ada sputtered as she bit her lip.
"I'd love to see all the things you can do with that tongue, love."
"Is that really all you can think about right now?"
"I'm a succubus,"
the dark-haired woman shrugged.
"It's in my blood."
"I'm sure you have a million questions,"
Leah said, as she released her grip on the ceiling, flipped over in midair, and then landed on the ground without breaking a sweat.
"And I'm ready to answer them all."
Leah and I sat down at the bar next to Ada and Janine, and then we walked the two women through the entire story. We told them about Leah's backstory, as well as what had gone down with the OLG cultists in her dorm room. We all shared the bottle of whiskey as we conversed, and by the time we were done, the whole damn thing was gone. "So, that's why I brought her back here. And the cherry on top is that she hates Orglan, too."
"Who doesn't hate Orglan?"
Ada asked aloud.
"He's the dirtiest son of a bitch this side of the Mississippi."
"Didn't you say that about Div, too?"
Janine asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Sure did, though."
The succubus grinned.
"But now Div's dead, and Orglan has slipped into the top spot."
Hold on. You know Orglan?"
"Not well."
Ada shrugged.
"Just because we're both paranormal crime bosses doesn't mean we're best buddies."
"Crime boss? I thought Orglan had dominion over the waters and that was it."
"And what do you think happens in those waters,
The tipsy, dark-haired woman asked, and then she waggled her finger at the redhead.
There's lots of swashbuckling crimes at sea. Pirates, naval battles, not to mention all the shady shit that goes on in international waters.
He controls the Midwest,
Janine said, as she crossed her arms across her chest.
I don't think there's too many pirates in Lake Superior.
You'd be surprised, love.
Ada clicked her tongue.
You'd be surprised. But to answer your question, Leah, yes, I have met him before.
So you can take us to him, right?
Leah asked, as hope filled her blue eyes.
No, my dear.
The succubus frowned.
I don't know where he is, exactly.
What about those muck-dweller things? Surely we could find some more of those and force them to take us to Orglin.
I like the way you think. But it's not that simple. They don't speak English, for one, and Carter's animal-speaking abilities don't seem to work on muck-dwellers.
He's got to be close, though. His minions showed up here, so his camp has to be nearby to some extent.
But he would have to be in a body of water, right?
Janine asked, as her eyes widened and a smile trailed up her lips.
Orglin is purely a water being, isn't he?
He's amphibious, I believe.
Ada shrugged.
What's your point, love?
My point is that attribute narrows things down a bit,
the redhead said, as she gently adjusted her glasses.
We know he's not going to be too far away from a body of water at any given time, and his minions had to have been spawned from somewhere.
But they were using the sewers to travel, remember? Plus, it's not like there aren't millions of different bodies of water in the greater Cincinnati area. Think of how many lakes, creeks, and ponds are around here, Janine. And then there's the Ohio River itself. That's a lot of ground to cover.
I can cover it quickly,
Leah said with a firm nod.
As you probably could have guessed, I'm a fast swimmer, too.
I don't think Michael Phelps in his prime could cover that much territory in the time we have, I said with a frown. There's got to be a better way to find Orglin. There was a sudden ping from Janine's pocket, and her face contorted into a confused frown as she pulled her phone out and unlocked the screen. Then Janine's jaw fell open and she let out a soft chuckle. What?
It looks like you've gone viral, Carter. Well, at least at UC,
Janine explained, as she held up her phone for me to see.
The campus community app is blowing up with videos of your little skirmish with the frat boys.
Oh, that's not good, I groaned as I leaned in and squinted at the video on the screen. Sure enough, in pixel-perfect high definition, there was my fight with Toby and his goons. Well, fight was giving them a bit too much credit. It was more like a humiliating beatdown.
The brawl in Dabney Hall is what they're calling it,
Janine said with a smirk.
It looks like you kicked some serious ass, Carter.
Oh, fuck me. I sighed and then facepalmed. That's definitely going to complicate things a bit if we don't figure out how to keep it on the down low.
What are you talking about? If anything, we should do the opposite of keeping it on the down low. We need to spread this clip onto every social media channel and video website we possibly can. Do you have any idea how much positive PR that'll bring in for your business?
Positive PR from a fight? I asked, as I scratched the back of my neck. I'm afraid I'm not following Ada.
Any PR is good PR, right?
No, I said, as I shook my head. A headline reading, "Local nightclub owner beats up frat boys in their dorm," couldn't possibly be good PR.
Not with that attitude, it couldn't.
Ada winked.
Let's try that headline again, shall we? How about, "Local business owner puts bullies in their places"? Everybody hates bullies, and it sounds like those men you beat up were giant ones. It'll show everyone you're a man who really cares about the little guys, who cares about truth, justice, and the American dream.
Or it'll just lead a bunch more paranormal creatures here to Cincy. I bet the comments on that video are full of people asking how the fuck I'm doing all that. Anybody who knows anything about the paranormal will realize I'm not a regular human.
Carter, love.
Ada clicked her tongue.
Word of our victory over Div has already spread far and wide. Those creatures will be coming for you, video or not. This is just a huge opportunity for creating some viral buzz for the renovated Cincy's Jewel.
But the renovations haven't even started yet. I raised my eyebrows.
Even better. That means the hype levels will be through the roof by the time we reopen.
Nobody's reopening if we're dead,
Leah said with a sigh.
And if Orglin gets to us first, that's what'll happen to us all.
Nonsense. Between the four of us, Orglin doesn't stand a chance, especially now that we have a polywag on our side.
A polywarm? And I think you might just be overinflating our chances here. You don't gain control of all bodies of water around the Midwest and eliminate entire races of people by being a pushover.
Yes, Orglin is a very deadly foe,
Ada said with a nod.
But Carter is much more deadly. And with three sexy, badass women at his side, Orglin is fucked.
We still have to find him first. I reminded everyone at the bar. I know we've been hitting the whiskey bottle pretty hard here, but we can't just sit around and wait for Orglin to come to us. His minions attacked us here once already, so he knows where to find us.
Why can't we wait?
Ada asked, as she took another sip from her glass.
We could just kick back with a few more bottles, put up our feet, and discuss battle strategies until he arrives.
I don't know about you, but Cincy's Jewel has already taken enough damage from people trying to kill us. Plus, you want to talk about PR? It's not exactly great PR to have an establishment that's always getting shut down for repairs, courtesy of psychopaths who want to kill the owner.
Let's look at the facts here,
Janine interjected, as she slammed her hand on the table.
Orglin has been seen somewhere in this area, and he's going to be somewhere not too far from a body of water. He's also got eyes and ears everywhere in the form of those nasty little muck dwellers. I'm still not above swimming through the Ohio.
Leah shrugged.
Anything to get rid of that bastard.
Is there anything else your race can do, Leah? Any other abilities we don't know about?
I mean, you saw my gills. Those help me breathe underwater when I'm swimming. What about your language? Most paranormal creatures have their own language that they speak. Perhaps there's a way for you to speak to the muck dwellers in your native tongue? Native tongue? Weren't you listening to my backstory? I was abandoned and raised by humans. My native tongue is English. Come on now. There has to be something. If your biology isn't human, then there's got to be some sort of natural sounds the polywarm people make that are distinctive. Well, yeah, there are sounds I make that I've never heard any other human make before, but no language.
What sorts of sounds? I asked, as I leaned forward and tilted my head to the side.
Mostly croaks, peeps, and grunts,
the blonde woman said with a shrug.
Typical stuff you'd hear frogs do. I mostly had a bad habit of doing them when I was younger and hadn't quite learned how to control my polywarm tendencies yet, though they still slip out on occasion. Which occasions? Jeez, I didn't realize this was going to be a game of 20 questions. I promise I'm going somewhere with this,
the archaeology student said.
When do you make these inhuman noises? Well...
Leah trailed off as she looked up at the ceiling, and then she took a swig of whiskey.
Becca and Valerie always give me shit about the really high-pitched squeaking noise I make when I get startled. That's definitely not something I hear most humans do. Then there's the strange grunts I sometimes do when I get flustered or frustrated by something.
And the croak. You said you croak sometimes.
Oh, that's one I learned to control a long time ago, and I haven't let it come out in years.
Why not? What's so bad about the croak?
Well...
The blonde sighed, and her face started to turn beet red.
There's only one very, very specific reason I ever croaked.
You can tell us, love.
Ada smiled and placed her hand on Leah's shoulder.
We're all friends here.
So the first time I ever made it was when I was watching Dawson's Creek as a teenager.
Leah mumbled and she averted her eyes.
It seemed to involuntarily happen whenever Dawson was on the screen. And then later, I noticed it happening whenever one of the love scenes came on in Sex and the City.
Oh.
Ada said with a sly grin.
It happens when you're horny.
I guess if you want to put it bluntly, yes.
Leah huffed and crossed her arms over her chest defensively.
But I figured out how to push that down and resist the urge a long time ago. Nobody wants to be with a woman who croaks in bed.
So it's a mating call.
Janine nodded.
Fascinating. Now I'm starting to wonder if I should pick up another minor in aquatic cryptids.
You have to graduate sometime, Janine. Unless you intend to just keep going back until you have every single degree known to man.
Not a bad idea.
The redhead said with a shrug.
As long as my lover foots the bill, that is. I guess it's a mating call?
Leah shrugged.
It's never really gotten me a mate, though.
With a tongue like yours, dear?
Ada said with an orgasmic shudder.
You certainly don't need one. Tell me, can you tie a cherry stem into a knot with that thing?
I can tie a freaking sapling into a knot with my tongue if I wanted to.
Leah smirked. Ada's eyes rolled back into her head, and she let out a soft moan as her hands gripped onto the edge of the bar. Janine went red at the sound, and Leah mostly looked confused. But then the light bulb turned on in my head. Polyworms were an amphibious species, and Orglan was also an amphibian. Maybe, just maybe, they could speak the same language after all. So, Ada, I said, as I tried to cut through her non-physical orgasm. What languages does Orglan know? Ada asked, as her eyes returned to a forward position.
Oh, sorry. He speaks a fair few. Why?
Do you think he'd respond to a mating call? I asked, as a smirk stretched up the corners of my mouth.
I see where this is going,
Janine said with a grin.
And I'm all for it.
Leah, I asked, as I turned to the blonde woman. Do you have any idea how far your mating call might travel?
No idea.
Leah shook her head.
I just know that one time I was particularly, excited in the bathtub, and I tried to hide it by going underneath the water, which somehow made it 10 times louder.
You're an amphibious paranormal creature, love. Of course your mating call would be louder underwater.
Then we need to get you underwater ASAP, I said, and then I finished off my glass of whiskey. And we need to get you making that sound.
You want me to do a mating call?
Leah asked, and her pale eyebrows furrowed over her blue eyes.
What good could that possibly do? We don't even know if Orglan will be close enough to hear it, and even if he does, he might not know what it means. That's not necessarily true,
Janine said, as she pushed her wide-brimmed glasses up her nose.
There was a study done a few years ago with Sasquatch mating calls, where they went up into the Himalayas and played a Yeti mating call, which drew a response from somewhere up in the snow-covered mountain. Then, a few days later, they played the mating call of a Sasquatch, and then the mating call of a Yowie. They got the same response as the Yeti mating call.
Perhaps I'm simply not following,
Ada said with a sigh.
Why is that anecdote important to what we're talking about?
Because if Yeti, Sasquatch, and Yowie languages are all similar enough to be understood across the species lines, then maybe Orglan will understand exactly what Leah is trying to say.
Like how people who can speak Dutch or Swedish usually can vaguely understand somebody who speaks German, since they all come from the same general place.
Exactly!
Janine clapped her hands together and jumped to her feet.
If Leah can do a mating call and Orglan hears it, maybe he'll answer back.
Leah finished the sentence.
But what makes you think he'd want to answer? Surely he's got bigger things on his mind than wanting to mate with some random frog woman.
You'd be surprised, love. If there's one thing I know about male paranormal creatures, is that they're always looking to get their dick wet. No offense, Carter.
None taken. It's kind of true. I mean, I'd totally fall into the succubus trap if I wasn't already aware of it.
Orglan is on a mission, though. Surely he won't just drop everything for a chance at mating.
I think you overestimate Orglan.
Actually, I'd say he's more likely to answer now. Think about it. Right now, if the few muck dwellers we let escape earlier haven't made it back to him yet, he's probably just sitting around waiting for new information. Now, pretend you're a lonely, water-based, paranormal man who's just twiddling his thumbs and doing nothing. Then you hear some horny woman calling out to you, asking you to come and fuck her. I'd drop everything I was doing and run there as fast as I fucking could.
Men.
Leah chuckled and shook her head.
Do you think you can make yourself croak again? Well, I mean,
if you can get horny at the right time.
Ada quickly cut her off.
I can help you with that when we get there.
Okay.
Leah tilted her head and looked at Ada with pure confusion in her eyes. But then she just shook her head.
This is all very, very theoretical. Isn't that what you biology majors love? All your theories and hypotheses and predictions? Just think of it like a giant living experiment you're doing in the lab.
So, then what happens? Leah makes her mating call, Orglan comes out to meet her, and then...
It's pretty straightforward from there, I said with a shrug. We kill the fucker and any other creatures stupid enough to swear allegiance to him.
And then there's one less paranormal creature coming for Carter's head, and a lot more territory will be up for grabs.
Ada, is there anything else you know about Orglan that might help us prepare for a fight against him? Ada pondered aloud as she rubbed her chin.
He's a very fast swimmer, and he has these massive webbed hands with claws the size of butcher knives. Oh, and he can spit acid.
Are you sure he's not a polyworm? It sounds very, very similar, minus the claws and the spitting acid.
He's definitely not.
The succubus shook her head.
He makes it very clear to everyone he meets that he is a fathom tray, a creature from the darkest depths.
So, watch the claws and watch the deadly acid that shoots from his mouth. Sounds simple enough. All we'll need to do is try and get him out of the water so he's at a disadvantage, and then we gang up on the fucker and take him out once and for all.
Let's do it then.
Leah nodded.
Every second that bastard lives is another second my people go unavenged.
Then let's go avenge him, I said to the beautiful blonde. We can go out to the lake over in the woods nearby, and Leah can make the call from there. The four of us placed our empty glasses down behind the bar, got up from our stools, and then headed for the door. We pushed it open with a loud bang and locked it up behind us, and then we proceeded to make our way to the little wooded park only a few blocks away from our lounge. The sun was just beginning to set on the Cincinnati skyline, and I couldn't help but admire its beauty as it cast a bright red glow across the city. We walked for a few blocks before we came up to the park, and then we promptly headed to the edge of the lake. There was a small clearing that led up to the shore, and the rest of the park was surrounded by large trees and a few shrubberies that smelled fragrantly of florals. The four of us walked up to the very edge of the small lake that rested at the park's center, where the soil was wet and squishy, and the air smelled faintly of mud, algae, and fish. We were surrounded by a dense thicket of shrubberies and trees, but it didn't really matter. At this time of the evening, there was nobody in the park anyways. Ada, Janine, and I all looked over at Leah, who already had her hands on the bottom of her tank top.
What?
The blonde woman asked when she saw us looking at her.
I don't want to get my good clothes wet.
Leah pulled her shirt off and tossed it to the side, and then she tugged off her sweatpants in a single motion. She stood before us in the same adorable lacy black underwear she'd worn in her dorm room, and I could already feel myself getting hard as I looked over her tight body. I must not have been the only one enjoying the view, because I heard Ada let out a soft purr beside me.
I can see why you wanted to fuck her so badly,
Ada whispered as Leah stuck her feet in the water.
I just want to take a bite out of that ripe peach and then go back for seconds.
Now that's the kind of shit you gotta say if you want to get Leah turned on enough to do a mating call.
The pheromone powers might help as well. They definitely had an effect on me.
Oh, don't worry,
Ada grinned.
I already have the perfect plan. I do appreciate the advice, though.
Leah moved deeper and deeper into the lake, until she was simply treading out with her head just above water. Her blonde locks floated out beside her as she swam, and even from out here, I could see the fading sunlight reflected in her eyes.
All right,
Leah called back.
Now what?
Now you do the mating call. Do you think you can do that yet?
Not yet. Give me a minute or two.
There's no need, dear. I'm on the case.
Without a hint of warning, Ada walked over to me, got down onto her knees, and then placed her right hand up against my crotch. My dick grew erect at her gentle touch, and within seconds, I had a massive bulge in my jeans. Ada! We're out in public!
So? Look around us, Carter. There's not a soul to be found in this area. Janine, do you wish to get in on this?
I'm good for now,
the redhead said, as she looked down at her feet and cleared her throat.
Maybe later. What's going on up there?
I'm getting him ready for you, love,
Ada said in a sultry tone.
I'm caressing his big, hard cock so it gets rock hard and can fill you with every inch of its goodness.
As she spoke, Ada's hand began to rub me through my pants, and my knees started to get weak. Oh, fuck. You really know how to drive me crazy.
Did you hear that?
Ada asked Leah.
He's at full mast right now, and this cock is just begging to be deep inside you.
It is?
Leah asked, and a faint blush spread across her cheeks and the bridge of her nose.
He is, my dear.
The succubus giggled as she cupped my bulge.
Just think about how deep he's gonna fuck you once this is over. I'd love that,
the blonde woman said as she bit her lip.
I know you would.
Ada purred as she shook her head.
But you've gotta be a good girl first. Don't you want this thing inside of you again? Don't you want it to fill you up to your eyeballs and then blow your fucking brains out with a massive spray of his seed?
Oh, fuck. Between Ada's soft touch and her dirty talk, I was gonna fucking explode in my pants.
Yes. Oh, yes, that would be so good.
And maybe if you're a very good girl.
Ada trailed off as she tenderly stroked me through my pants.
I can join in. I want to know what that tongue of yours can do, after all. Just think of it, Leah. You and me, rolling in bed together while we play with each other's breasts, all while Carter slides in and out of us with that monster between his legs. One thrust deep inside of you, and then one deep inside of me. His cock will be slick with our juices, so it'll be really easy for us to share him.
Oh, fuck.
Or maybe you'd rather have Janine. Perhaps you want to get down on your knees and share Carter's cock with this beautiful, shy woman.
Yes.
The blonde woman in the lake groaned as her eyes narrowed.
Do you want to see it, love?
Ada asked as she reached for my zipper.
Do you want to watch as I suck every drop of seed out of Carter's penis?
Leah bit her lip and then nodded, so Ada got to work. The succubus quickly unzipped my pants, reached into the flap of my boxers, and pulled my erect manhood out through the seam. She held it up so Leah could see it all, and then she started to stroke it gently. Fuck, I sputtered as I tried to keep myself upright.
He loves this, Leah. Don't you want this to be you? Don't you want to feel his rock-hard manhood in your hands?
In my mouth. I'd want it in my mouth so bad.
Oh, that can be arranged, love.
Ada winked, and then she slid her lips over my cock. Pure euphoria shot through my body as the succubus started to deep-throat me with quick, rapid motions. At the same time, Ada's hands reached into my boxers and caressed my balls, which were now so tight they felt like they were being stretched on a tanning rack. She sucked and rubbed me for a few more minutes, all while Janine and Leah watched with wide eyes and blushing cheeks.
Oh, fuck, that's hot!
Ada wrapped both her hands around my cock and then proceeded to stroke it upward as she simultaneously sucked on the tip. The sensation was fucking wild, and I just about collapsed onto my knees right then and there. But I stayed upright as I approached the mountaintop. Finally, I'd had enough. The pressure in my stomach was now tight, and it was ready to snap, so I grabbed onto the back of Ada's head and shoved her down all the way onto me. I felt her wet mouth wrap around my throbbing erection, and then the head of my dick touched the back of her warm, tight throat. That was the end of the road for me. Oh, fuck, Ada! Oh, fuck! My head began to spin as my balls tensed up, and my manhood jerked in the hot clutch of her mouth. I took a fistful of Ada's dark hair as my knees started to buckle, and then I saw stars as my cock sprayed half a fucking gallon of cum into the succubus's beautiful mouth, and she let out a sound as she took it all in. Finally, once things had settled down, Ada let my dick slide out from her luscious lips. Then she turned to Leah, stuck out her tongue to show her all my cum, before she swallowed every drop of it.
That could have been yours, Leah.
Ada sighed as she wiped her lips and then slid my cock back into my jeans.
Maybe next time.
Leah's face was scrunched into a scowl, though her eyes were aglow with excitement. Then the blonde woman's body went tense, and she smiled before she took a deep breath, reared back her head, and completely pushed herself underwater. Seconds later, a sound that reminded me of a frickin' foghorn echoed around us. The surface of the lake trembled as a deep, low croak echoed through the park. Several fish sprang out of the water in response, and the birds that had been on the sides of the lake took off like bats out of hell. Then Leah's head popped back to the surface, and she was nothing but smiles.
I did it!
The blonde woman declared.
I made the mating call!
You're welcome,
Ada said, as she looked back and forth between the two of us and then winked.
Both of you.
Shit. I hope we get into a lot more situations where mating calls are necessary.
On one condition,
Ada said with a frown.
Next time, Janine has to get in on it.
Me?
Janine gasped, and she fiddled with her glasses as her cheeks flared bright red.
Ada, you know how long it took me to get comfortable with... I still don't think I can do it in public like this, especially for an audience.
Sure you can, love,
the succubus argued.
It's the exact same thing you do in private, just put on display.
We'll see.
The shy redhead frowned.
For now, we just need to wait for...
Before Janine could even finish her sentence, the air around us was filled with a sound like a trumpet. A strange clicking sound accompanied this deep, guttural trumpet, almost like something straight out of The Predator. And the noise was so loud it shook the earth below us and caused the water in the lake to slosh around like a tidal wave in a kiddie pool. The sound subsided as quickly as it had begun, and Leah simply floated there in the water. Now, though, she had a giant grin on her face.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be a mating call, courtesy of one Orglin.
Seriously? How do you know?
He told me his name. He made it very, very clear he was Orglin, master of the water as far as the eye could see.
Holy shit. What did he say? Is he coming to us?
No.
The blonde woman shook her head.
He wants me to come to him.